There's no particular theme yet for open lines, but one often develops. George Norrie taking the night off, happy to step in. Coming up tomorrow night, The Poisoner's Handbook and the Birth of CSI as We Know It. It's a very interesting story, and it tracks the poisons that are still coming after us, these environmental poisons that are all about. You might be surprised what's lurking in your system, and that there was a time when people could poison somebody with a fairly good assurance that they'd never be caught. It's one of the reasons why we have crime labs today. We'll talk about that coming up on Saturday night on Coast to Coast. So the latest information on the earthquake in Chile says 8.8 magnitude. So we went from an 8.5 down to 8.3, now back to 8.8. And the epicenter being just offshore, there has been some talk about tsunami warnings, but I have been unable to confirm any significant tsunami warning. So there was one that listed for a while yesterday about Japan. There had been some tsunami activity that they were expecting after a 7.0 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Okinawa, I believe, roughly. But no, in fact, there was no tsunami. But there are people who are watching this offshore earthquake off South America, and we'll let you know if we know more about that. Also, off the coast of Antarctica, there's a new floating ice island. It's about the size of the island of Oahu, and it calved off of Antarctica yesterday, surprisingly, on Friday, in an area that they say is not prone to breaking off huge icebergs. So it's happened in a part which was generally thought of as being sort of a cooler end of Antarctica. And it's huge, and the scientists are also expecting then that more ice will follow as whatever it is that happened on that part of Antarctica is not done yet. So lots of activity in the seas. And of course, the big story from this week was the activity at SeaWorld. The sad story of the trainer who was killed by a killer whale, who shook her violently, drowned her. She was Dawn Brancho, I believe was her last name, and she's a 40-year-old trainer whose family said that she knew what to expect. She was used to working with wild animals, and that this was something which kind of came with the territory. You hate to think it was because of her ponytail. That ponytail was going back and forth and back and forth, and some people think that may have triggered this particular killer whale to attack her. However, other people say that this was a case of murder, that this was a highly intelligent being. This was not just some, if you'll pardon the expression, some dumb animal responding to stimuli, but that this is a premeditated killer. That this killer whale had already participated in the deaths of two other people associated with the SeaWorld, and that maybe this is a rogue killer whale. That killer whales are used to swimming up to 100 miles a day and staying with their family pods, and here's this killer whale, stuck with two other people in a very small area, and that this is what we should come to expect from that. I don't know where you would take that for open lines, but I would be curious if anybody has had any experience like that, having been attacked by an animal which people had thought had been tamed or had been trained by you. And, I imagine there's a few dog stories out there, but, maybe there's some insight that you have to offer for this attack in Florida, and we can find out when we get to open lines. Where are you going to take this show coming up next on Coast to Coast? In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. Well, if you go online at coasttocoastam.com, you'll see the cool photos of the ice geysers from one of Saturn's icy moons. Very cool if we're talking about the ice calving off of Antarctica, too. I don't know where to start for open lines. We'll pick up the first time caller line where Mark is in Pittsburgh and waiting the longest on Coast to Coast. Mark?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. You're getting us started for open lines for the rest of the night.
Hi. There's a thing I've always, an inverse exorcism. Have you ever heard of that?
Of an inverse exorcism where you bring the demons into your body?
Yeah, it goes like a regular exorcism, and then for some reason, it gets, something goes terribly wrong. It's supposed to be long and brutal, but it's basically supposed to go, the body's destroyed, the possessed soul remains.
The body is destroyed, but the soul remains.
Yeah, the possessed soul remains. Is there such thing as that?
Well, I guess if you're saying there is a botched exorcism, and what are the ramifications of a botched exorcism, I suppose that could be such a thing. But I've never heard of it, and I've never heard of it in church circles. I've spoken with real exorcists before, and no one's ever told me of a case of that. What have you heard about inverse exorcisms?
Because I've heard things about it, but I've really learned about it from that movie, John Carpenter's Vampires.
Oh, right.
They really got really in detail about it. And then I've read about it, and I was wondering if it actually, been performed a while back.
I saw John Carpenter's Vampires in a hotel room once. I was on a business trip, and I watched it. And I, now that you mention it, I do remember that was part of it. But I don't think outside of a John Carpenter movie, I don't believe I've ever heard anybody talk about it at length. But maybe if there's one person we could turn to on that, would be, as I understand it, west of the Rockies, JC is in Arizona, and he may have.
How dare you? Yes, I can tell you about inverse exorcisms. It's called rock and roll music. And when you listen to the rock music, it's you're inviting the devil into your soul and he possesses you. But that's not what I want to talk about. First, I have a couple of issues. Yes, I want to talk about your woman. The woman that's answering your phone, she gave me a hell of a time trying to get through, sir. Now, and I can like it. I have a few points to bring up. One about the Red Olympics, but first, I can identify with the SeaWorld story you're talking about, training an animal to do your bidding and having it go wild, like the serial killer whale. Listen, like I trained Edna. Like, I had her doing my bidding and doing my work, and then she turned on me.
Did she...
identify.
Was it because she got a little devil in her, or she wasn't getting a little devil in her enough, if you know what I mean, JC?
Oh, dear Lord, and I've been reeling ever since. The thing is, I think all hope is lost for you after last week's food pornography show where you had the guy talking about eating the private parts of bulls and snakes and demons. That was so disgusting. I threw up for a week. I was vomiting nonstop after listening to that food pornographer.
Oh, I wish you'd called. I would have enjoyed hearing that.
I tried to get through. Listen, the food molestation is so apparent on the television. If you look at any of these TV programs, like there's one for a McDonald's commercial, and the two girls are talking, and then they say, how about if we kiss each other while we eat the hamburger? And it's so disgusting. But that's not what I wanted to talk about so much as that I am disgusted still from the food pornographer that you had on last week.
It was so disgusting. How many times did you watch it?
Well, I had to review it several times to get the secret messages.
Right.
And I ran it backwards.
Okay.
And there were secret messages. Now, look,
right.
You're trying to distract me from talking about the Red Olympics. Okay.
Are the Red Olympics that's going on in Vancouver, the Red Olympics that we, USA, USA, that we are dominating right now in Vancouver?
It's shameful. We lost to Canada. But listen, the reason people watch, I want to talk about the salacious nature of the international peep show that is the Olympics. I'll tell you why people watch the Olympics. It's all salacious when they talk. Listen, you ever watch the ice dancers and the girls have the little short skirts, and people with dirty minds are watching it having lustful thoughts.
Oh, really? What were you thinking? What were you thinking, JC, as you were watching them?
I was thinking how disgusting this would be if someone who had a salacious mind were to watch this, and it's just an international peep show for people to sit there and watch it, and it's so disgusting. It's the world coming together in some sort of communistic order to worship each other or worship Canada, and it's I can't tell you how horrible it is to sit here and have to be subjected to that.
Let me ask you a question about that, because I was sort of curious. then if it's salacious, then do you feel better or worse when the ice dancers are brother and sister?
Oh, dear Lord, I don't even want to go there. And the thing about that is it's just disgusting in general. And what I don't like about it is the very fact that we're watching people. The thing is, they should, why are we, this is what I don't understand, is, you know, I don't like Muslims and Muslimism, but they have a good idea with covering the women up. That's one thing they get right. I don't understand it. And we have Toyota building kamikaze cars. They calculated this attack to have these cars. This is something that they cooked up in the 40s, and they waited all this time to get revenge on America by making cars that are going kamikaze and killing people.
Okay. Well, and I don't want you to start throwing up for a week, but let me ask you, what do you think we ought to do? Do you think we ought to pull out of the Olympics?
Oh, absolutely. What I think we ought to do is we ought to pull out of the Olympics and send in some F-16 stealth fighters to drop a few reminders on why America is the supreme power in the world. And to just top it all off, you had that disgustipator who wrote Star Trek on tonight. And another thing about
What was disgusting about him? What was disgusting about Nicholas Meyer?
Because he wrote the communist propaganda film showing how we couldn't win a nuclear war. Listen, we can win a nuclear war. We should have beat the Soviets with an atomic war. Oh, I was promised an atomic war, and I wanted an atomic war. We could have cleaned their clocks and so on. A few cities get nuked. Big deal. Suck it up, you wimps. That's what I had to say about that.
Go ahead.
I wasn't done making my point about the Olympics and how cruel they are. Listen, that poor fellow, look, I don't like the Olympics, but he died. They don't have to call him a loser, do they?
Well, I don't think anybody's called him a loser because he died. Right? Are you talking about the guy that was on the luge?
They called him a loser, yes.
Oh, no, a loser, not loser. See, I understand how you might be used to hearing that word, loser. No, he's a loser.
I can't get into the nuances of the French communist language.
I understand. But that's where they're just calling him a loser. That's different. But JC, I
guess he's not going to get a medal.
No, he wasn't going to get a medal. But JC, you are always a gold medal contender in my mind for the best caller on Coast to Coast.
There's hope for you yet, Ian. If you just stop doing the bidding of the devil, and I tell you what, next time you have the food pornographer on, I want a shot at him.
Okay, you know what? I could probably see if I can get you to get on the show with him. I might talk to Andrew and see if he'd be willing to have you on as a guest on Bizarre Foods.
I'd absolutely go on his program, and I would tell him exactly why. What he needs to try is some of the Lord's food.
Some of the Lord's food. Okay.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell him that, and thank you, JC. One more thing.
I don't have to take this kind of abuse.
Okay. Well, I hadn't gotten around to any abuse. I was saying thank you. But if that, I understand that maybe maybe qualifying as abuse with you these days. Thank you always for calling. Let's get to Allie, who's in Seattle on Coast to Coast. Allie?
Hi, Ian. Boy, what a tough call to follow.
Yeah, he's always fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got the tail end of a Nightline where they did an interview with George Norrie, and he was talking about the shadowy government. And I was wondering if you heard about the American Community Survey.
Tell me about the American Community. Was George talking about that tonight on Nightline?
No, okay. He wasn't. But, to me, that's part of the shadowy government. I hadn't heard anything about it until I received one in the mail, and it's a supplement to the U.S. Census, and it's a 28-page pages of intrusive, inappropriate questions, and it concerns matters that really are simply none of the government's business. It includes things about one's job, income, physical, emotional health, family status, dwelling, intimate personal habits, and the questions are ludicrous and insulting, and it goes on and on, mixing inane questions with highly detailed inquiries about one's financial affairs.
Well, at the risk of sounding like JC, slow down, Allie, and tell me what's really offensive. What question was really offensive on this American Community Survey?
Well, let's see. Let me open this up. I think it was number 18. They want to know. Because of a physical, mental, or emotional condition, does this person have serious difficulty concentrating, remember, or making decisions?
What's offensive about
it? Does this person have difficulty walking or climbing stairs? Does this person have difficulty dressing or bathing?
Well, what's offensive about that?
Well, when you really get into looking at it, they're meddling into our personal affairs, and I find it's a violation of our U.S. constitutional rights.
Well, I want to go back to what is offensive. If they want to know, in order to better serve the communities, if they want to say, you know, how many people are affected, how many people are handicapped in any general population area, how many people are in need of services, what offends you about that?
Well, you know, I have no problem with the basic U.S. census, you know, the 10 questions, the 10 minutes. But this is a program they started working on in 2000, and they started mailing them out to about 250,000 a month in 2005. That's about $3 million a year, to the tune of about costing us about $150 million a year.
Okay.
And it just goes over and beyond what, I mean, this is personal information I wouldn't even share with my family members, let alone put it on a form and put it in the mailbox and send off to some stranger because you don't know who it's going to go to.
You wouldn't tell a family member that there's somebody in your family that needs extra help?
Well, no, I would tell them that, but I'm not going to tell them, go off and tell them how much I pay for flood insurance, how much my condominium dues are. Only thing it didn't seem to ask me was my Social Security number, but I'm sure they probably have that. I've spent just hours and hours researching this on the internet. There's even a bill that was introduced by Representative Ted Poe out of Texas, H.R. 3131. Where he's asking that they make this American Community Survey voluntary. You know,
is it not voluntary now? You can just throw it away, can't you?
No, they threaten you. They threaten you. They say that your response is required by law. And I said, what law? And they say, well, it's U.S. Code number 13. And I'm going, but this is against my U.S. constitutional rights. And it's just amazing.
All right. Well, I got to get some other callers in. But thank you. I appreciate that. I'm looking right now at the survey here, and I'm not seeing anything here about it being mandatory. But I went to the website, and it doesn't say that. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'll look into that and see if I can't find out more on that. Let's get one other call before we get to the bottom of the hour. William is in Lafayette, Indiana, on Coast to Coast. William?
Hello, Ian. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
I do remember you from WGN. God, it's been a long time. hey, I just want to talk about JC. I finally figured out what his initials are for. Just crazy. Hey, anyway, I want to talk about the weather real quick. I know it's coming up the break, but coldest summer in Chicago that I've ever remembered. I drive to Indianapolis and to Chicago and back every night. And, you know, we've had more snow. I mean, I really think God's got a sense of humor. You know, all this global warming. He's laughing. He goes, "You want to see global warming? I'll show you global warming."
I'll tell you what. Just so you know, what the scientists are saying, that actually this is that was the warmest January on record, and I'm just reading this tonight. I happened to catch it earlier on the web that the climatologists are saying it's the warmest January on record, and that's one of the reasons why we've had such big snows. There's more on that. I'll share that with you coming up after the break. And then on the way too, your open line calls, you take us where you want to go. We'll give you the numbers that you need coming up on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, I checked on it to make sure. And yes, the American Community Survey is mandatory for those receiving it. It's about 2% of the population. It's intended to be the replacement for the long-form questionnaire of the U.S. Census Bureau. So they had that program before where they were sending out the long-form questionnaire, and only a percentage of the population would get the long-form, too. So this is falling under that. Awesome. They're kind of swapping one out for the other. And a lot of people are pushing back against it. In fact, the caller was right. The fines are steep. But One thing I happened to see when I was going through a couple of chat rooms real quickly on the subject is it doesn't come into a particular name. It comes into resident, at least according to what was written here. It says resident, and then underneath that, then there's the address. You know, some people are saying, you know, they do follow up, but they don't know your name and they don't have your detailed information until you send it in. So some people are protesting that way, and others are feel very forced to complete the information as requested. But it is replacing the long form survey that had been used for years. Whether or not it continues, and yes, there's a proposal here that would make it voluntary, I hope that they do that. It seems like that's the only fair way to do that. If they're going to ask a lot more information, they shouldn't make you do it. It's okay. So we'll get back to open lines. We gave you the numbers. All the lines are locked up, including the Skype line, which I haven't tried yet, but we'll do that coming up next. And there is no one particular theme for these open line calls, but I did get a couple interesting emails from people talking about having been attacked by wild animals themselves. Or in this case, a wild animal in captivity, like the killer whale in Orlando. More on that next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. I got an email from somebody who said that they heard me talking about the attack of the killer whale, and they sent a link to a story from 6 months ago, an interesting reminder about a woman, 65-year-old woman, that was walking through Lexington, Georgia. She's a hiker and an animal lover and had been worried about all of these wild dogs that she had seen in the area in a rural stretch of road, a wild pack of dogs that had actually been fed by somebody in the community, kept putting out food for them. And then they just attacked her, and then attacked her husband, who was a retired professor who had gone out looking for her. And when the authorities showed up, the wild dogs were still standing guard over their bodies. It happens. If you have an experience on that you want to share, we'd love to hear about that. Ray is in Detroit on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Ray?
Hey, Ian. Long time, man.
Nice to hear
How you. Been?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
Well, I had something that happened to me at work about 4 weeks ago. I'm a security guard, and I patrol a pretty wide area. And every morning I see this lady standing in this bus stop, and it's been like over 2 years like that. And 4 weeks ago, it's been 4 weeks since I've seen her, which is interesting because I see her every day. And she was standing in the bus stop. It was about 4 a.m. She leaves for work or something. And she's standing there, and she's holding her purse and a bag, and all of a sudden she just starts screaming. Top of her lungs, like so loud and horrendous. It was just like awful. I get out of the truck and I look, and she just goes running down the street towards, it's just like, it was crazy. So I follow her for a while, and she makes a left, and she's still screaming. And I said, well, I got to get back. I can't really leave the property. And it was just so weird. And I was like, okay. So I shrugged it off, and I thought, when I was looking around, I didn't see nothing, no animals or anything around, you know. And we got a few wild dogs around here, and so. Anyway, so later I'm walking through the area next, and it's like right next to there, and it was about a half hour later, and all of a sudden I start hearing somebody go, hello, 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 and there's like no houses or anything around. It's just the bus stop and like a field. It was really, really weird.
And did you ever find the origin of the hello, hello?
No. That's always like weird because there's nowhere to hear anything from. I mean, it's just me, a bus stop, and a field in the street.
What's your instinct telling you it is?
Well, I'm figuring she's saying something paranormal, you know. So I was like,
that's what made her run. Did it make you run?
No, it made me run. I just left myself, and you know, I was like, oh, it's weird, and kept on trucking, you know.
And keep on tracking that too, as well. Give us a call back if you hear it again, Ray, and thanks, and be careful. Eddie is in Providence on the East Coast line on Coast to Coast. Eddie?
Hi. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Go ahead. Where are you going to take us?
I want to go away from the killer whale to I had a female shepherd for 14 years, and I bought her when she was like one. She was with another family, and she stayed outside. When she came to my house, I had a family, young son, I actually stayed with her at night, let her in, slept next to her, and took care of her and showed her love. And for 14 years, this dog never tried to bite me or anything at all. I could take food from her. But the point I'm trying to get across here is that animals are only as good as their masters or their owners. And the killer whale, it's a killer whale. But the way they treat them, they keep the whale as a killer whale instead of trying to bring it, you know, as a, to slow it down. They give it electrical charges, whistles, and they actually tease the whale. So this whale is looking for a reason to do this. And it's a killer whale, so I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you, but
so you're saying
I think that... love, you know, I think when you treat an animal with love, it'll give it, you know, it's 21 years now and I never replaced it with, couldn't do, I don't even call her a dog, you know, it's just my best friend.
Right. And so help me out on the killer whale thing. So you're saying that they used electrical shocks on the killer whales?
Electrical shocks, whistles, you know, they don't feed it. They train it, you know, for the audience. And as the whale is going around, you know, it's a killer whale. It wants to kill.
I haven't heard about the electrical shocks, but that's and I
thought that the greyhounds, dog race.
Okay.
They abuse the dogs.
Right.
And,
yeah.
To get them to run. It's all money, and now, that show is all about money. They ought to just let the whale, bring the whale back out, and just release it. It's a killer whale.
I'm with you on that. I think they ought to release it back out to the wild, obviously, before it should ever kill again. Billy is in Nevada, and he's on the Skype line, this new Skype line. Billy, you are my official first user of the Skype line. Where do you want to take us on open lines?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Barely, actually. So let's get your question on right away.
Okay. Well, it's not a question. It's an explanation as to the ice breaking off in the Arctic. The explanation is that I'm a member of the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition that's coming up, and the ice being broke off is a act of the Inner Earth people to allow us to have a freer way of getting up to their location, the North Polar opening. So that's the reason of the ice being sent up to the Arctic. So the icebreaker will not have as much ice to go through.
This is in this, you know, this is in the Antarctic, right?
Arctic.
No, this particular ice break-off was in the Antarctic.
Okay, but up in the Arctic, there's also a thinning of the ice up there. And the reason for that is because of the inner Earth people that are going to allow us to enter into the North Polar opening come July this year.
That's your scheduled visit?
Yeah, that's when we are scheduled to go up there.
I thought you were supposed to go in 2009. I thought I remember talking to somebody about a 2009 expedition. Did they ever do that one? Billy? Gone. We lost him. Okay. Well, cool. I thought they were supposed to do one in 2009. Didn't we have a guest on saying that? And then I never heard back from him. So now he said 2010, July of 2010, and that the ice breaking up in the North Pole is from people who are in the hollow earth. We'll go to Cody in Utah, first time caller line on Coast to Coast. Cody?
Yes.
Hi, you're on open lines. Go ahead.
Wow, can't believe I actually got through. I'm super nervous. Sorry. first, I want to say thanks. Last weekend, you mentioned my name. You thanked me for adding you to Facebook. So you're welcome.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you. I've enjoyed this whole Facebook thing. I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's fun. Just don't get too addicted. It could be a trap.
Right.
Anyway, my question. Last weekend, you mentioned you saw Shutter Island, and you really enjoyed it, right?
I did. I thought it was really cool.
I'm trying to find a way to pose this question without ruining the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it. So I just went tonight, and I was interested in what your opinion on it might be. the ending. What was your take on that?
Well, yeah, we can't go too deep into that without ruining for everybody, and I wouldn't want to do that. But I would say I wish there had been one more twist. I enjoyed it. I mean, cinematically, I just sort of thought there might be. But as I said last week, I mean, I think it's a really, really, really good episode of The Twilight Zone.
Oh yeah, it was amazing. I was into the whole movie from start to finish.
And I've been listening to the soundtrack off and on throughout the week, which I just
it was great. I was amazed by that. But the way I thought, there was two possible endings. Either he already won.
Well, we can't do this. We cannot do this.
Him.
No, we cannot do this. We cannot have this conversation, Cody, without ruining it. There's no human way to have this conversation. Check back with me in 6 months, okay? When people have had a chance to see it.
I don't want to ruin it, but I was just really interested on your take on that. So.
Well, you can just Facebook me and I'll get back to you on that. Okay.
Right.
We'll have the conversation off the air. But in the meantime, I'd really recommend Shutter Island. I thought it was a howl. Let me go to Alan in Ogden, Utah on Coast to Coast. Alan?
Hey, Enid. How you doing? I'm so excited to talk to you. You've always been my favorite.
You're very nice. Thank you.
Show. But I wanted to ask a question of you, too, that kind of draws on both your theological and political expertise.
Sure.
In talking to Nicholas Meyer tonight, you and he were talking about Ronald Reagan being so inspired by the movie that he changed direction away from his kind of hawk position toward that of someone who was, if not a dove, at least more liberal on that issue than he had been, right?
I don't know if we could put it in terms of hawks and doves, and I will say this only because I just recently reread that chapter. All the point was just merely is that he started to take the idea of a nuclear winter more seriously. And I think part of that was the discussion that also came after the movie the day after aired on ABC, and that you had William Buckley and you had Carl Sagan on, and Sagan, that was the night that Carl Sagan made his famous analogy about, between us and the Soviet Union, it's like having two people in a giant tank of gas. One has three matches and one has five matches. And it didn't really matter. And I think that I don't know if that put him in a dovish position, but it apparently made Reagan reconsider the facility of a limited nuclear attack. How does that sound?
That sounds good. What I would suggest, too, in addition to that, or maybe it's an expansion of it, since Reagan had originally been a Democrat, especially when he was the head of the Screen Actors Guild and was, very active in that. And then, of course, later switched his allegiance to the Republicans and then at least began to liberalize here with this experience. Isn't it possible that he became a born-again Democrat?
I don't think so. I don't know enough about his biography, I'll be honest with you. At the time, certainly Democrats and Republicans were unified in their outlook on nuclear war and the need for nuclear deterrence. At the time when Ronald Reagan switched from being a Democrat to a Republican, I don't think there was any essential difference between the leading Democrats and Republicans in the time on that. I don't think that you don't really see that. I don't think you see the divide on that until the 70s, don't you? I mean, I was trying to think of when that really begins to get pushed apart, and I think it's sometime toward the tail end of the Vietnam War, into the 70s.
Yeah. Well, in fact, Reagan, when he was making that transition, while he was still a Democrat, supported Richard Nixon.
Right. And that would be about the time. Right. And I don't know that there was ever a position, and thanks for interesting, thought to throw out there, but I don't know that I would ever say that he became a Democrat again. I think that the one thing that, if you were to point to that with Ronald Reagan, it would be his appeal to labor unions, that although he dismantled a couple, in particular the air traffic controllers, and made that union essentially a non-player in the famous air traffic controller strike, he certainly had a high, blue-collar appeal. And so maybe there was just that part of him that always, that always kind of felt like the the everyday person out there could reach out to him. I think he was an effective communicator in that way. But I wouldn't say he switched to being too liberal. Annie's in Alabama on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Annie?
Hi, thank you for letting me on, Ian.
Thank you for
Go ahead.
No, I said thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I'd like to mention a theory I have about some whales and also some comments regarding the patent office that should be doing more to help inventors of alternative energy. And regarding these whales, this is not the first time I've heard that right before an earthquake that whales and other animals do very erratic things.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Hadn't put the two things together. And you have this earthquake off of Japan, and then you have an earthquake there off Chile, the coast of Chile. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a connection or not, but yeah, I've heard that too.
This quake was so big it could be picked up a long, long way off. It might upset their sonar. I don't know what it is. And also I heard someone mention something about some crows that were going nuts on the Pacific coast a few days ago, and they thought something might be going to happen, but they didn't know what. Do you remember hearing about that?
I had not heard about crows. Tell me more about that.
Somebody mentioned it on Coast to Coast a few nights ago, that some crows were behaving very erratically on the Pacific coast, and they thought that the crows were something was upsetting them, that something might be going to happen, and they didn't know what, whether it was a storm or sometimes snow. Birds act funny right before it snows. I've noticed that.
Right. Well, we've certainly had some unusual snow activity, that's for sure. So I'll have to go and find out more about that during the news at the top of the hour. Chris is in Louisiana on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Chris.
How you doing, Ann?
Go for it.
I wanted to talk about Haiti, but I started hearing those people talk about animal stories, and I got a wild one.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you, I had a poodle named Pepper when I was a kid, right? And my daddy, we used to pet her and play with her and whatnot. One day, my daddy was driving down to the vet because she had gotten sick, and he held her out the window by her hind legs. And after that, I don't know what happened then. She went crazy on us. She started biting everybody in the house.
Huh.
And then that day on, I've hated dogs. Does that make sense? Why?
So in the end, what do you attribute it to?
I attribute to people saying dogs are domesticated, and dogs can snap, and whales can snap too. Those are wilder animals than dogs. You can domesticate a dog.
You're right about that. You know, I knew a woman once at a YMCA in Atlanta. She's a very nice woman, but she had some facial scars, and we were talking about it, and she told me how a dog that she had her whole life. She had just come up to the dog. The dog was sleeping, and she came up to it like she had 1,000 other times before and just kind of pet it while the dog was sleeping. And at that exact moment, the dog just jumped up and literally tore off the lower part of her face. And so I've just never forgotten that. And she said, you know, there's just a part of dogs that'll just never go away from that. And she said he realized it was just old and it got startled, and that was its reaction. But she had to have her face reconstructed from that. And I just always felt for her on that, and I'd always be kind of mindful of that. Even though I'm around my lovely dog, Jack, I often keep an eye on those teeth of his. More open line calls coming up next. Got another great hour's worth. You jump in, won't you, next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.